Blog Talk Radio.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny.
A little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Of all the grounding studies, the one that really got our attention is called Electric Grounding Improves Vagal Tone in Preterm Infants. In the study, 26 premature babies in an NICU were connected to grounding wires. The heart rates of the grounded infants stabilized, and their vagal tone, a critical measure of infant health, increased by 67% with grounding.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flawed, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately? Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. Well, what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolli, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You get a percent of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolli, earn free Bitcoin while you shop.
So, hi, guys. Neurodivergent Audrey here. We were just talking for the last 9.5 minutes, and I didn't know my phone was muted.
So, we just realized you couldn't hear us.
So, we're going to...
Let's backtrack. Do you want to introduce again, or do you want me to do it for you?
I can't hear my brain.
No,
okay,
I literally didn't even notice either.
Oh,
I looked down while we were talking, and I was like, we've been muted this entire time.
Okay.
Like, oh, my God.
So,
my brain those, but we do not have.
Oh, my God. Anybody who is just joining us, ooh, or has been, or, wow, sorry, guys, you are not that, well, you might be, I don't know. who is just joining us, or if you have been on this whole time wondering, where is Audrey and Phoenix and their crazy selves? We've been here. I didn't unmute my phone after the ad price. So we have literally just been talking for 9.5 minutes. We are going to try this again. This is Barefoot is Legal Radio, a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle. we're Facebook. We're on all the socials. You can do a quick Google search of us to find us. Yeah. So we were just, you wouldn't know it, but we were just talking about being neurodivergent, oddly, funnily enough, and forgetting things, even our own name. So this kind of tracks with that. I am going to take a break from talking and let Miss Phoenix take over for a minute because I got a brief rest.
No, you're good.
So, yeah, welcome to Barefoot is Legal Radio, guys. Unfortunately, the first 10 minutes of the show, we did not realize that we had us muted, so you guys can hear us talking.
So if you're listening, got a little confused, sorry, we were confused too. But we...
Because, Audrey, we're muted.
I said. I just cackled. That else am I going
to
do?
I just looked out at the phone because I usually do because I like to see how long sometimes we've been talking because as somebody,
right.
We're always aware of time.
Time makes no sense.
And
that's
so
why.
Keep in mind, guys, like sometimes if it seems like, okay, where are they going? We're two neurodivergent brains, which is actually something we're talking about, you know? Sometimes we get a little off with timing, you know, and just our
I'm
general
muting.
Thoughts.
No.
That is
distracted.
So funny to me.
That is
so
me.
I love that, though.
Maybe nobody needed to hear what we were just saying. Maybe that's why. It's fate. I'm going with it. Roll with me.
But, you know, we're just saying, you know, just bear with us in general, you know.
We are not professionals. We were not, like, trained in the School of Radio Academy or whatever. Like, I don't know what's
correct. We're also... two neurodivergent women that have had a really long week, and that's something we were talking about, and for me, it definitely ties into the barefooting thing.
Yeah.
So I will say, you know, be patient with everyone, guys, in general. It is a really hard time. There have also been national shortages on ADHD meds, so be patient and kind and understanding, and if you care about a person with ADHD that you know is medicated and may not be having access to that, ask what you can do to help, you know, if you can, you know, help, if you have that extra capacity to give, you know, offer at least a little bit more of that, and just be patient with people, and understand that this shortage is affecting a lot of people. I know Audrey has been affected by it, but also keep in mind, it is a crazy time, it is a crazy climate we're living in, not to get political, but there's a lot of hateful legislation out there, there's a lot of hate, unfortunately, in this world. Yeah, it is everywhere.
Everywhere.
Just in this world, like it's sad. And so be patient and hold on to love. You know, feel your emotions, process them. And I do want to actually get into feeling your emotions and the body processes with emotions and how that like relates to barefooting for me. That I've been having some recent realizations this past week. And there's a lot of research into it. I don't have like. Sources I can put in link trees lined up right now. The link tree actually, the whole link, I don't know if anybody else has had issues with link tree. At least I know on my end, I don't know if it's my computer or if it's just the fact that the whole link tree site is having an error crash code or whatever. I don't even remember what the code number is now.
Probably 404.
It was actually not. It was a different one. And that's what was even more confusing.
Oh, I think it's not real. No, I'm just
kidding. So, and I was like, I don't even know what this code is.
It's a divergent error code. Sorry.
You're fine.
I'm like, I'm sorry because I'm not.
You know, it's because as neurodivergent people in society, we constantly feel like we have to overly apologize for our quips. Mm-hmm. So, you know, be patient with each other, guys. And, you know, we were talking about how, you know, sometimes, you know, we can communicate things the wrong way, but sometimes we can just straight up mute ourselves and forget, you know, so that happens too. But again, we were just saying, you know, not even just with us, but with all neurodivergent people, ask, don't assume if there's a problem or if there's a miscommunication. Because miscommunications like that.
Wow.
Making my own point for me.
I like that word. What was it? I don't even know.
But miscommunications are going to happen when talking to, interacting, and having relationships with neurodivergent people, whether that's ADHD, autism, or any other type of neurodivergent condition, because those aren't the only two forms of being neurodivergent out there. But those are the two that most people are, you know, more familiar with, and we are recognized more. Bear with each other, guys. And I know, too, that because it is such a chaotic time, and this is kind of when I get more into, like, the body, the emotion, coming back to our body, like, grounding ourselves, now still kind of getting off that tangent, it is a really crazy time. There's a lot of emotion. Things are very charged. There's a lot going on. And
yeah,
unfortunately, within the society,
and not even
just, you know, bound to one nation or one part of the globe, it's very a global thing where we have been taught to be disconnected and alienated from our emotions and from our bodies. Now, obviously, certain cultures are going to be affected by this the most. And, you know, speaking as somebody from America, living in this part of the Western world, this is definitely a crucial thing, being disconnected from our emotions, our bodies, and our needs on so many different levels for the sake of productivity that doesn't even really matter in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Productivity that isn't going to add fruitfulness to other people's lives or ourselves or build communities or heal. Just work that is about corporate greed. Mm-hmm. And I'm not here to influence anybody's political opinion by any means. Like, I'm just here to speak from my experiences, you know, because we're not a political show, but at the same time, it's like, how can you be barefooting about anything?
100% not.
That, you know, there's still discrimination for without being somewhat political,
right?
You know, and how can we also, and I think at this point, talking about our bodies, our emotions, our brains, that is political because it's so anti the current establishment put in place and the current system. And that's not me trying
I don't know
what other words people want to throw around. I don't know. Like, I'm here to just kind of learn to connect and love with people. Like, and kindness, patience, those are so key to that.
Yeah.
And it's really sad how we've been taught to ignore our bodies, or that what our bodies need only matters when somebody else can validate it.
Mm-hmm. When it's a physical, seeable problem. Not if it's mental or invisible.
Yeah.
Can't see it, it ain't real, right?
But even if...
Explain fairy tale.
But even if somebody, you know, has something with their physical bodies, I feel like in general, we are very much so taught to disconnect that, and it's not valid unless somebody else says it is. But that is especially true with our emotions and with our mental health. I think our emotional health and our mental health are definitely two different things. Being neurodivergent, I think, has kind of made me see that a lot, that they are two very different things. Because,
but they're connected at the same time?
Yeah, but I have my log. Oh,
I don't know why I just jumped so bad. Hi.
Sorry.
Somebody came home and it scared me.
You're good. No, when I heard the door unlocking, I just knew he was coming home, so
I
didn't react.
Jumped.
I watched you. I was like, oh, dang.
Yeah, my whole body.
But
you scared me, Tammy.
But in general, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get back to where I was thinking on. My brain got a little bit distracted. But just in general, being neurodivergent definitely kind of, I feel like, made me realize or taught me or whatever that mental and emotional health are not the exact same thing. There are different dimensions and there are different facets of our being. And even when you get into like spiritual principles across cultures, the mental and emotional dimension. So think of your head space and your heart space. They're referred to even by different things because different cultures. I was, you know, chakras was all tend to use because that's the word a lot most people are familiar with. But these energy centers have their own independent names and their own independent studies, similar to the study of chakras from mm-hmm. Hindus and Indians. That they have their own names, they have their own system, but it's still a very similar thing. Even in Jewish Kabbalah, you see this. And Tai Chi, they're, you know, they talk about the energy exchanges, and there's so many other ones. I'm not going to go off on that tangent today, but our heart and our head dimension are very much different. And we have to think about our emotional space and our head space. And as somebody who's neurodivergent, I think that it's very easy to see the difference between my mental health and my emotional health, because we can often be so logical, at least for me anyways, that like we can be so logical in our mental dimension that we can disconnect from our emotional dimension while also still being highly sensitive and highly emotional beings, but there's still that disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
My nose is like all weird, guys. Not like sick or contagious, but I have a sinus infection. I tend to get chronic sinus infections because of my other health issues. But so, not getting Audrey sick or anything, but sorry if I keep making weird noises or stop talking because my nose is just weird if I can't breathe for a second. But I do want to share this information and thank you. And like those kind of like realizations with the difference between the head space and the heart space, so that other people can become more aware of that. And I think that it does, believe me, it relates to barefooting with me, all of this does. And because barefooting is definitely very healing. It is. And I'm sure, Audrey, you can even testify that. And you have your own experiences with that.
My pain level is way lower when I don't put shoes on than when I have to wear them.
Yeah, for sure. And like, even something I realized, too, even if the cold is so bad, and I've talked about my issues with the cold and my sensitivities because of health issues and, like, those are limitations that I have, even if the cold is so bad that going barefoot for me is not an option, it's not that, you know, shoes even fix the problem either. Shoes not only mm-hmm. don't, you know, it's like they make it worse.
Like the side effects
of medication. Not even that barefooting just makes it, like, oh, just take.
It's not it doesn't take everything away, but it helps. It's like any treatment.
Yeah. Well, I'm also trying to testify to how much barefooting I feel like helps, but I'm having a hard time explaining. Love being neurodivergent. My brain is having a hard time computing the words to how much I want to say that barefooting helps me. So please just take my word for it, because I can't form this sentence. Barefooting means a lot to a lot of people. Because
and for different reasons
of
too.
People like us, it helps a lot. And yes, for different reasons. And I think my barefooting journey was also a part of me learning to recognize and process what is going on in my like head dimension and my heart dimension, and also the distinguishes and be able to distinguish between them as well.
Yeah.
Like, what am I actually picking up on? And I think it's because of the overstimulation that wearing shoes can come with for a lot of us neurodivergent
people. A lot of
people.
Times, like when I've heard, that's the biggest thing, I keep thinking like how uncomfortable they are, and I'm like focused on that instead of what I'm supposed to be doing.
And so when you're able to remove those shoes, it's like your brain is able to think and
like
process.
It reset.
It's like everything clicks, everything makes sense, and it is hard to explain. But at the same time, barefooting does also have just general benefits, not rather, oh, it stopped and took this problem away, but it's also an effective healing tool
mm-hmm.
for my mobility and for Audrey's mobility with different health issues and mm-hmm. stuff like that with our muscles. My movement is so much better. My pain is so much better. When I'm able to barefoot in the summer, my symptoms with, you know, having a disability are very lessened.
They're minimal.
Very minimal, yes. Both mentally and physically. My emotional regulation is better. And so mm-hmm. I found that there are different aspects that barefooting can help with and relate to. And that is the physical level of, you know, wearing shoes. So that's where I think a lot of, like, the stimulation aspect can come from. It's just physically uncomfortable. your, because, you know, like our nerves,
being overwhelmed with uncomfortability.
Our nerves are picking up on things differently. That's what's happening because all the nerves lead back to the brain and we are neurodivergent. That's where the sensory issues come from. It does not necessarily that it's like a nerve issue, but like, you know, the same way other nerve issues like are for people, and there's a wide range of nerve issues. But it's still like because of that processing, we think our nerves that run through our body, it's like you're still picking up on those things, those signals differently.
Yeah.
And so that is a very physical interaction, but it becomes mental when that information gets processed in the brain, and then it creates these mental struggles on top of it, like a mental obsession of the fact you're wearing shoes, or it can create other, it can kick up and the dirt with a lot of mental frustrations and other mental health issues that are unrelated because you're so overstimulated physically.
That, and I feel like a lot for me, I'm very much a nature-oriented person, and it's like I feel like sometimes my inspiration and thoughts, quote-unquote, come from the ground, like the way energy cycling and whatnot. And it's like, so then when I've got, I'm insulated from the earth, it's like literally I can't think sometimes.
No, I guess
and not. People think I'm being dramatic or making it up. But I'm like, until you've lived it, you can't say squat.
And like we've gotten into in the past on the show, there is science behind barefooting. There are electromagnetic fields are real. This isn't just made up. They're real. And we all have electrical charges in our body. And so I was talking about before with our head space and our head dimension or heart space, heart dimension type of stuff. With this as well, we have to think these parts of our bodies are electrical, literally. And people often recognize electrical activity of the brain, and yes, the mind holds a lot of power, but our heart space and love holds more power because our hearts are actually, and this is science, more electrical than our brains. And we think we have all this electrical energy going through our bodies. The sun is electrical. That's what the electro part of electromagnetic fields come into play. And
electrocardiogram.
Yes. And the earth is magnetic. And so that's the magnetic part comes in. And so basically the combination of these two forces being electric and magnetic, when they come together, that's what creates the electromagnetic field. And so these are very much real forces that affect the planet but and its orbit, you know, around the sun and their relationship. But it also affects everything on it. And science has proven that objects' electromagnetic fields can be altered by their relationship to people and their electromagnetic fields. So this electrical energy has been studied. It's very much real. And shoes, most shoes anyways, have a rubber sole. And what does rubber do? It stops the flow of electricity.
And
so let's think. Everything electrical is grounded to the earth. And if it's not, that can
overload and short it out.
Yeah, and that can start a lot of dangerous things to occur. So we have to ground things to the earth. And research that we brought up, sorry, my nose again. I probably couldn't breathe for a second. Sorry, where is it going with that? So with these electromagnetic fields, So we brought up this health article in the past. I already mentioned earlier that the Linktree crashed, but I don't know if this was when we actually were muted at the beginning. Sorry about again about that guy.
I'm gonna laugh about that.
Yeah, that was the funniest thing. I was like, out of any mistake we've ever made, I mean, that's definitely like the funniest one out there.
Definitely.
But like, we're literally just speaking about being neurodivergent. What do you know? Completely forgot to unmute and didn't even process that. But anyway, guys. So on the Linktree, now Linktree did crash, so it's this whole thing where I can't change or edit any of the links in it, so I couldn't update the show this week, and it's been an ongoing issue, not sure what's going on with that. I don't know if it's just my computer or my end of things, it's just not registering for me, or if it's like it's just a thing with Linktree, I have no clue. But there is an article, if you are able to access it from the Instagram, Real Barefoot is Legal, in the link. Or in the bio link, the link tree in there, there's a Earthing Health article mentioned. And it is by, you know, a credible source that I'd even used in college with my, like, psych major stuff for projects and whatnot. So you can check that out, and it does give information that there are a lot of studies to show that us not being connected to the earth and us not grounding properly is then connected to chronic pain, inflammation in the body, a lot of issues with different systems not working. And so there is a lot of science to it. Unfortunately, it hasn't been appreciated enough. And yes, there is a lot of studies that do still need to take place. There's a lot of stuff that still needs to happen and a lot of changes within the science in the terms of elevating and improving and taking it a step further.
Well, people need to see that science,
but it's still science.
Pseudoscience, as people like to call it.
And it's stuff that has been researched by the classical scientific method, and they've been able to find actual empirical medical information. And they've done sleep studies, they've done pain studies. There's, I recommend checking it out. And there's even a lot more other information out there. So this isn't something that we're just making up. There's something.
I'm creative, but I'm not.
And I'm going to go blow my nose real quick. I don't know if you want to run even a quick ad break, because it is too, I just realized. Or you can
what,
just talk.
What, you think
for
I can't talk? I'm
no,
a pro talker. I'm a pro talker.
Okay. I'm going to go blow my nose real quick. I don't want to see you guys
ears.
Like,
yeah. I'm sure the world appreciates that. Yeah, actually, I probably do need to run an ad break, because we forget that almost every week to do too. So I'm going to go ahead and run a quick break, and we will be back in just a few minutes, folks. Sorry, we're just all over the place today. We will be back in just a couple of minutes.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Hello everyone, I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com. MARTIE.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Okay, one more time. This is your foot. This is shoes. This is your foot in shoes.
I can't move.
Any questions?
This public service announcement brought to you by Zero Shoes. Feel the freedom, feel the fun, feel the world in Zero Shoes.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny.
A little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
I didn't know that there was beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
and they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But what, why wouldn't you do... Why wouldn't you do...
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Hello, folks. We are back with Barefoot is Legal Radio. This is Phoenix with Audrey. We were talking a little bit about the electromagnetic fields before taking an ad break, and, you know, me having to blow my nose if you were listening beforehand, because, you know, I didn't want to do that without y'all listening, because, ew. But, no, I just make a joke. But Barefoot is Legal. Barefoot is Legal. We are here to educate, inform, and talk on the barefoot lifestyle. There are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States.
None.
There are none. There
driving
is,
or barefooting in public, there's not a single thing people can do about it.
And it's actually often safer to my brain stopped for a second. It is often safer to drive without shoes than a lot of different types of shoes.
Yeah, heels and flip-flops come to mind.
And I'm not sure if this is a common, you know, threat at all, but even think about, like, you know, if your shoelaces are tied funny, and but they're not tied together enough.
Start coming down.
Think about it. Like, I'm sure anybody that's worn tennis shoes or shoes that have laces have had this happen at least at one time, where it's, like, they come undone, and they're, like, long, but then they're, like, knotted at the end somehow. Imagine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like that is a risk factor in its own. I mean... So, and that's not me trying to scare people out of wearing their shoes by any means, but I'm just trying to say, like, it is validly safe, and I feel like even sometimes for me, like, I worry about things like that, you know, and you hear all these cases of just crazy things that happen, but especially flip-flops and sandals, there have been a lot of incidents reported, and some obviously just completely, woof, but some thankfully not too bad of accidents, but still dangerous.
Right, like the woman that went through the front of the AutoZone, Advanced Auto Park, a couple years back, so she got a flip-flop caught under the pedal, into the window. Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah, and so it's not like we're just saying, like, oh, they're wearing shoes, and we're just, like, over-exaggerating that the shoes had to do with it. No, like, in these cases, their shoes got caught on one of the pedals, most of the gas being the worst pedal to get caught on, and that has created accidents. And so we're really just trying to debunk this whole idea that, oh, driving barefoot is unsafe. What is unsafe about driving barefoot? Nothing. I can't even understand a logical explanation. What? Maybe if it's like super freezing, frigid winter, and the pedal is cold. But even maybe then, okay, but you first get in the car and the pedal's so cold before the car warmed up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, okay. Risk, you know,
is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Is what I'm trying to get at.
I'm picking up what you're
saying. You know what I mean? Like, that is a very, like, I doubt that that is really going to result in much of a risk to people's safety. Because, again, you're in a car, that stuff can warm up. I'm sure Audrey can testify this, too. You know, when you're driving barefoot and you've got the heat going, like, you don't really even notice the fact that, oh, it's cold or whatever. Because your feet aren't cold anymore. You don't.
Yeah.
And it's,
well, then the car even blocks
like
the wind
inside.
You know,
at that point. And I don't know. It's just, it blows my mind that there even is this stigma that it's unsafe to drive barefoot. It's not. And there are no laws against driving barefoot. There are no laws in being in a place open to the public barefoot. It's not, if a person who owns a business or works for a business, whatever, is uncomfortable, that is not a legal ground by any means to kick you out. It is a protected right. Why is it a protected right? Because people barefoot for spiritual or religious reasons, cultural reasons, medical reasons, and that can be physical or mental health or emotional health.
Or both.
And being neurodivergent is a key component of why people barefoot as well. And also, some people are just uncomfortable. They're just uncomfortable.
Here's the thing.
And nobody wants to be uncomfortable in the sense that if you're so uncomfortable just by wearing shoes that it is causing a general pain or an issue on your ability to function through society, regardless of what that is, then clearly there's a problem. Like, yes, I do agree that a lot of people need, and let me, you know, get my poor, you know, try to jump in and seem like, oh, what is she saying? No, there are a lot of people.
Yeah, what are you saying? What are you saying?
Words.
Oh. I got nothing else.
But the thing is, like, I do agree that a lot of people need to learn to be okay with being uncomfortable. And a lot of people do need to learn to get over their discomfort and step out of their comfort zone. Stepping out of your comfort zone is always going to have some discomfort, too. So keep that in mind. That's why it's called stepping out of your comfort zone.
Because you're not comfortable anymore.
But this isn't about comfortable in terms of functioning or alienating yourself, what I'm talking about. Some people need to learn to get uncomfortable because we don't have all the facts as people in our own experiences. We don't have all the information. We don't know everything. We aren't everything either. You know, we all can be very multifaceted people, but a lot of us aren't everything, you know, so we can't relate to other people's experiences.
Well, there's a reason I go to a doctor, because I ain't one.
Yeah, and so you do need to learn to be a little uncomfortable in the sense of learning to accept and listen to new information, even when it does not go with your current way of thinking. If it is valid information with empirical evidence, or if it's somebody's genuine experience that they have the place to speak on, then you need to take that information in. I'm not saying internalize it or allow it to affect your self-esteem, because that can be very unhealthy. And a lot of that, too, if people are projecting their stuff, you don't need to be internalizing that. But we need to listen to other people's ideas and other people's opinions and new information, regardless of whether or not it makes us comfortable, because we will never grow as people if we just immediately dismiss information and awareness because we don't like it.
Well, how are you going to learn anything if you don't learn anything?
And that's so toxic, and that's how hateful rhetoric
I knew what I meant to say.
Is able to, you know, keep going and keep affecting people and keep hurting and oppressing people is by people not being willing to challenge information, challenge that. And it may be very uncomfortable for you, depending on your upbringing, to, you know, hear other sides and other information and to acknowledge other people's experiences are different from yours and that different people exist. That doesn't give you the excuse to ignore this information, ignore people, and to just assume that you have it all figured out. Like, there can be some discomfort, but that is not discomfort that you need to run away from. Instead, it shows that there's something that you need to process and understand and unpack.
Whoa.
If a person existing for who they are, you're fine, is such a dismantling thing to your belief system, clearly your belief system needs work. And that's not even talking about religion necessarily. Now, that may be true for some, but just in general, any belief system you have, any thoughts, feelings, or ideas, if the existence of people who are just being themselves and aren't hurting anyone and are just trying to be themselves is so upsetting to you, that is something you need to unpack. That is a discomfort you need to unpack. Not a discomfort that you need to put and project on other people.
Right.
And so this, you know, has a lot to do with, you know, marginalized groups. And, you know, I can't speak much on that from experience, but I just want to talk about that and point that out. Like, you need to get over that, you know? And this is also something that ties into barefooting. Unfortunately, a lot of people, when they hear this information, they just want to shut it out because it doesn't go with their current way of thinking. It challenges the information they've had. It challenges the fear-based thinking and fear tactics that they were taught as a kid to get them to act right. And I'm not trying to be rude or make anyone, you know, feel called out either, because I get that. You know, a lot of us have grown up with some form of fear tactics that we need to unpack and dismantle and, you know, heal from and move on from. But that is not an excuse to be a jerk. It's not an excuse to discriminate against people. It's not an excuse to just be like, oh, ugh. If other people,
what?
Really, they're probably saying some hateful rhetoric instead of, but I'd rather say, than hateful, you know? Exactly. Imagine if when people, like, hateful people talked and had hateful opinions, all that came out of their mouth was,
Like in The Good Place.
Yeah, like in The Good Place, that movie, or not movie, sorry, show, where you can't curse.
The fork.
That's so funny. No, I know exactly what you're talking about. That was so funny. But,
oh, distractions,
no,
my old friend.
You're okay, though. But
that's amazing.
If somebody else barefooting, when they're minding their business, they're doing something that's better for their bodies and for their health on different dimensions is so upsetting to you, that is something you need to unpack. That is something you need to address. And that applies for anything. If it's not hurting you, it's not hurting anybody else, it's not violating anybody else's body autonomy and personal authority and right, why does it matter? Because if anything, you being a hater against people who are trying to barefoot to benefit themselves and to help themselves, whether it is for their mental health, their emotional health, their spiritual health, or physical health, or any other type of health, you are violating their body autonomy rights. You are violating their personal authority rights by trying to challenge their ability to have that right. And we do have that right to barefoot, though. There are no laws or health codes against barefooting. So if people are trying to take that away from you, do not let them.
It's like we're fighting a fight that shouldn't be a fight. Like,
and it shouldn't. There
are
bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
In this country and in this world.
Yeah. Sure is.
Like, I just, you know, I don't understand how people can get so bent out of shape over something like barefooting when it doesn't have any effect on them.
Well, and that's the thing. My thing is, I'm like the guy that the one that verbally assaulted me, he was an old feller with, and literally, like, you could see his dust had been worn for several days, and he did not smell very great. But you know what? I did not actually bring that up the entire argument where I could have.
I've never even heard you bring it up till now.
Exactly.
I don't bring that up
because I'm like, I don't see any purpose. Even when I'm having a discussion or a debate with somebody, to bring up like, stuff like that, that just makes somebody feel bad. So I'm like, it still doesn't compute in my brain, like, why do people feel it's their right or duty, basically, to tear people down.
I love
around.
Your maturity right now.
I have none ever. But, like, to take people down.
Yeah.
Why is that? I just...
Yeah. And not
just leave people alone.
Because, you know, people are always like, well, freedom of speech. Okay. But
I saw that same freedom to point out that you're a smelly old person and I want to punch you in the nose. But do I do that?
Exactly.
Well, just because you have the right doesn't mean you need to exercise it. Depending on what it is.
Yeah. It's like, why spread hate? But also, too, it kills me how people want to be like, well, freedom of speech.
Until it affects
them. But even then, you have that right to have freedom of speech, say what you want to say. But then when natural consequences, like people being angry and going off and being like, this is not okay, is a natural consequence at that point. Because people, again, are allowed to respond to you. They're allowed to also exercise their freedom of speech. And their freedom of speech is, what you said is offensive and you're being a jerk. And you suddenly are so offended, and, oh, now my freedom of speech is being violated. No, it's not. This is just a natural consequence.
Well, and you know what's
and
funny?
That's not even
you want to hear something funny?
Anything.
There for a while, and I'm not, luckily I'm not having any issues for a while, but there for a hot minute, the biggest people I had problems out of trying to say something, and it just, I'd look at them literally just and laugh, and that, of course, made them madder, but I couldn't not, because they were literally the same people I'd hear talking about. So my body, my choice, which I 100% obviously agree with, but it's like, I would laugh in their face, and not to be mean. It's like I couldn't control it because I'm like, my body, my choice, but then trying to tell me I have to put on shoes on my body. I'm confused.
Obviously.
And it's funny to me. But those are the biggest, like, the loudest people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, wait a minute. It's what's good for the goose, not good for the gander. I'm confused.
Yeah,
humans make no sense to me. I want to know me.
Obviously, it's like, okay, those people need to, like, grow up and they need to deal with their
issues.
They
need to, not just that, they need to, like, listen to themselves when they talk. Like, granted, like, I have that problem.
But that is growing up.
But, like, people point out, like, what I've said or something, I'll say something, I'm like, wait, what? But, like, they do in the long run. But, like, others, I'm like, wait, you're
Yeah.
I just confused my brain too much. So, like, even, I can't even form, like, a, like, my title lighter.
And obviously, like, this is an issue with those individuals and people, and they have,
yeah, that's a
they have
like the lady, I wouldn't barefoot in here. I'm like, well, I just told her, I guess it's a good thing I'm not walking with your feet. What else do you say to that? Like, okay, congratulations.
Yeah, and obviously there's an issue with these people, and they need to take the responsibility of unpacking.
They need to
take
food. That's
and
what they need to do.
Thank food. And they need to take the responsibility of, like, unpacking these thoughts, these fear-based thinking, the propaganda that they've been, you know, taught, the fear tactics and just misinformation that they have been raised with or taught or whatever or believe. Like, and obviously that responsibility is on them. But also, I think it also shows just how sick the brainwashing is in terms of not respecting body autonomy, not respecting personal authority, and that distancing and isolation from one's body and, like, from one's physical needs. Like I was talking about earlier, how it's like, you know, a lot of the time we are made to believe over time that, like, our anything our body needs, you know, isn't valid unless somebody else validates it. Like I was talking about earlier, so it ties into with emotion and, or, you know, mental health and stuff.
Like when people want to say I'm being dramatic because they say I need to go ground or I need to take my shoes off and they think I'm just trying to be a pain in the butt rebel without a cause. And I'm like, actually, I have a cause. I might be a pain in the butt, but I have
a
cause. There's a reason for it.
Yeah.
No.
And
exactly what you're saying. Like people like,
and that ties in even like things that let you continue. Yeah.
And I was just saying, like, that's how the hell I'd die. I'd be like, yeah, no, that's because you're not living on, you're not in it. You're not in it to win it. I don't know what to tell you, but like, just because you wouldn't do it doesn't mean nobody would do it.
Because it's not right for you doesn't mean it's not right for other people.
Just because it's not something you would do doesn't mean nobody should do it ever. Like,
personal preference, right?
Yeah,
now, yeah.
Like, you wouldn't want, like,
which,
and again,
that go back to?
And that's why
personal
I'm not even
personal autonomy,
here. Right.
Body autonomy.
Well, and that's
authority.
Why I'm here to talk about, you know, like, I don't want to force anybody out of their shoes any more than I want to force into my shoes.
Yeah.
My goal is to spread information and education on the subject matter and let people make the choice for themselves. Like my children will go be going somewhere. Do I need to put shoes on? Do you want to put shoes on? And sometimes my husband and I get kind of in a slight argument, not like a all-out fight or whatever.
But
like,
place of like,
like if he's always wears, yeah, he's a shoe man. I am obviously not a shoe girl. But like, that, you know, depending on the place, they quote unquote have to wear. Sometimes, like if we're going to the park, especially, or even just running to the grocery store real quick, or running to Menards, you know, I know it's so funny. One time I had to go to Menards, and it's like 60 degrees outside. So I mean, obviously I don't have shoes on, and my son, he we get there and he goes, oh, I don't have my shoes. Figured that was gonna get him out of going into this hardware store, and I looked at him, I was like, okay, do you know who your mother is?
Yeah.
Just go.
No
laws
or health.
We are here to get
the
stuff.
Weather isn't a hazard.
Exactly.
At all,
like,
in that moment.
If somebody wants to say something to me, let them. I've already know what to say. I've got this. You know, my daughter, we were leaving a Dollar General one day, and this man, where's your shoes? You need shoes. And my daughter, 6 years old at the time, she looks and she goes, she has rights. And I'm like, you gonna argue with a 6 year old girl?
Because she's making more points than you are, buddy.
It was, you know, but like they have choice and they understand and they know. But I allow them to make that choice.
Kids need to understand that.
And it gives them the autonomy over their own body.
Exactly.
Like,
and it's not like you're, you know, coercing your kids into being barefooters. Mm-hmm. You have four children and two out of the four prefer barefooting.
Yeah.
And again, you give them that choice.
Yeah, right.
But obviously, if it is too cold for their bodies, as a mother, for their safety, like, yes, you have different limitations and have been able to go all winter, but you're an adult. You've been doing this for a long
time.
You know, and even this was a milestone for you this winter.
Well, and not less likely, they're less like more likely to get frostbite or injury due to cold, frozen, numb feet. than I am.
And so obviously, you know, as a mother who cares about their children's safety and well-being, when it is necessary, you're going to be like, I'm sorry, you know, you have to for your safety. But of course,
as they get older,
they're going to go out and understand, oh, mom's not crazy. Like,
and I've let them go out in it before, barefoot, just so they can see, well, tell me how you think it feels. If they dart right back in and go put them on, well, I know how it felt to them.
Exactly.
You know, and unfortunately, you know, for school, there are rules. They will not let them go to school barefoot, so they do wear shoes at school, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, there's too many other things to just be all gung-ho about. Anyway, like,
in society,
there are too many other things going out my kids.
Yeah.
I don't want to be one of the negative things going out my kids.
Yeah.
Straight up.
One thing is, that's kind of what I was going to say. Like, there's so much in this world that is going to tear down children. And it's crazy how many adults think that, well, I'm preparing them for the hard world. No, you are taking out your issues with the hard world on them.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with protecting them or preparing them. Because studies have shown that when kids are actually prepared for life by having the support, having their body autonomy respected, having their personal authority respected, having just their general thoughts, opinions, and feelings validated, their needs validated, it actually makes them stronger people who are more equipped to deal with challenges because they're not going to lose their identity or fall apart when an incident occurs.
Right.
Because
had
their
kids know all about heartbreak.
You know, they've had their self-esteem built up.
Right.
They're not going to fall apart, even as they become adults, to situations that people with trauma
are
going to be triggered by or have a hard time dealing with because they were torn down so much. And I can't even speak on that from my own experiences, not feeling equipped for certain things because I didn't have as much support as I felt like I needed with a lot of things, or as much personal autonomy and validation for those things. And so that is a very real thing that affects people. And if you want to prepare your children for the hard world, help instill their identity in them and help them know that they are valid and special for just being themselves. And that's not saying, oh, they're special, they're entitled to everything, and, you know, they should have everything handed to them. No. The time that they're special in the fact that they are their own individual.
Mm-hmm.
They're their own person. That they exist as their own entity, not for someone else to control.
Right.
And even respecting barefooting ties into this because it's such a, you know, it is an integral part of anybody that chooses barefooting. It's an integral part of their life. You know, it is a part of having more personal autonomy, personal authority validated, but your needs validated. And so I understand that, you know, there are safety things and, you know, like at school, kids can't go barefoot. I understand that parents can't always make the choices that they want to. It's something we talked about last week, too.
And I'm not made to be a homeschooling mama before anybody comes at me with that.
Yeah, and the thing, too, is we shouldn't even
barely keep up on my own stuff, let alone
the expectation that, oh, well, you have a problem with stay home. You should homeschool your kids. Most people can't not afford that as an option in general. And two, no, we should be demanding more from our system. And we should be demanding more from public school education and education
absolutely.
In general. And any institution that is working with children, we need to be demanding more.
Absolutely.
Not just, oh, put it in your own hands. Because all you're doing is often burdening mothers or female figures often, but also men are also going to be burdened by that.
Let me ask you this. If it's a free education for all.
It's not even free, but really, but okay.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean. It's the education for all, as long as you follow our rules. That's what they're saying.
And I get it, yes.
Rules need structure. They need to, don't get me wrong, I'm a teacher. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I completely agree with that there need to be guidelines.
Yeah.
But some things there's
silly to me. And we do need rules and we need structure. Children need it. Adults need it. Society needs it. But we don't have a system of valid, reasonable rules that are actually taking into consideration children's needs and their autonomy and their personal authority. When a system does not value those things, there is a fundamental problem, a fundamental issue.
Yeah.
And people can be like, oh, well, you know, you're just going on about barefooting, you're just barefooters. Like, is this really a big deal? Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Because at any point in time when we are putting these regulations on people's bodies like that, and we are violating people's body autonomy is a problem, because that gives us grounds to what? Take away other things and question other things.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't even be questioning. Yeah, what's next? And so if you are somebody that believes in body autonomy and believes in personal authority and believes that all people should have those things, you should support our movement just simply because that's what we stand for. And you should just stand by barefooters because of the importance of personal choice and autonomy.
Yeah.
Not because you are a barefooter or because you know someone's a barefooter, but because you respect personal autonomy.
Yeah.
And those are
agreed.
So important.
Yeah.
Without
no, they're
we don't
essential.
Have any identity.
They're essential.
Like, and unfortunately, our system, I feel like, is aimed to not just. Well, it is. Okay, actually, these two thoughts do tie in together. So I was going to say first that it is aimed to invalidate our identities. It's aimed to alienate us from our identities and alienate us from our natural flow. Our natural flow mm-hmm. being the natural states of our energy that, depending on what is natural to us in any situation mm-hmm. or occasion. And so anytime that, you know, neurodivergent people have to mask, especially very heavily, that is betraying your natural flow. Anytime that you are violating your own autonomy for the sake of other people and putting them above you like that, that is a self-alienating thing. That is violating your natural flow.
Mm-hmm.
But we can also help and be there for people and be there for our communities. Some things may naturally be draining no matter what, but we can do those things and have them still be draining while still being in accordance with our natural flow, because exerting energy is going to be tiring.
Yeah.
To any degree. So, yes, that's always going to happen,
too.
But you're more likely to get burnout and feel exhausted and feel passionless and useless and worthless when you have to violate your natural flow, which is just disrespecting your autonomy, which is giving up your autonomy.
Yeah.
And so this does also tie into the fact that the system is meant to alienate from our different parts of our different dimensions of our being and our existence, like our head space, our heart space, you know, our physical energy, these different levels to us. And
yeah.
And this is in accordance with taking down and chiseling away at our identity. Because think about it, when we are not in touch with our emotions and we don't know what our emotions are, that is infringing on our emotional identity.
Also, for us, the big thing, too, again, at my center is teaching emotions, like giving names to the emotions. You know, it's very important for children to have the names for these emotions.
Yeah, and I think even with barefooting, like, people don't always have the name for the feelings that they're experiencing when wearing shoes and or barefooting, good or bad, with those, you know, those being different type of things
mm-hmm.
going on. Very much
sorry,
is something that we don't always have the language for and can't always explain. Because it's just not seen as a valid thing, you know? So there's not that really that language for it, because it's not really seen as that valid thing. But, and so, I don't know, I just think that it's important to remember that when you are getting in touch with your emotions and you're getting in touch with your headspace and you're getting in touch with your body, you are reclaiming back your natural flow. You're reclaiming back your autonomy. You're reclaiming back your personal authority. You're reclaiming your body and your identity, your emotions. Like, that is so important. And there was something, too, that I wanted to get into is, like, as well, and I feel like this kind of, we've kind of, like, helped let up the stage to be able to talk about it, and I mentioned it at the beginning as well, that, sorry, my brain stopped for a second.
Audrey's messing stuff up.
But
that didn't work.
What was I even saying? No,
okay. Body autonomy.
Well, no, it's not that.
Polyobotomy.
I was going, oh.
Sounds like a name. Polyobotomy.
But, oh, just talking about how, like, with barefooting and the body and processing emotions, mm-hmm. processing traumas, and just energy. You know, because I talked about earlier, like, the electrical flow of energy in our bodies.
Yeah.
And so, yes, that is still something to take into consideration. Grounding, you know, to the earth, that's how we can ground excessive electrical charges from our body to help get rid of them. Because, like I mentioned earlier, too, there is, you know, information out there that has shown that not being grounded to the earth can cause a lot of different health issues and has been linked to health issues or even worse symptoms with different health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have to think most shoes are made with a rubber sole, which what does rubber do? Stop the flow of electrical energy. So we're not able to ground ourselves when we're wearing shoes, like literally. Because when we have that rubber on our foot, we're literally
insulated.
Scientifically, electrically stopping the flow of energy.
Word.
And give me 1 second. I'm trying to think also too how to like process, trying to get into and talking about like processing emotions through the body. Because that was a realization I had this week, but it's still like almost like a, it's something I'm still trying to like now. I'm like, ooh, how do I put it into words though? Because it is a complicated thing. But did you have something to say? Sorry.
Huh? Oh, no, I'm just...
No, you're good. I thought you were about to say something, I couldn't tell.
I'm not sure. I just thinking about how important it is for, like you were saying, for everybody to have that autonomy and be able to make their own choices and decisions, including, like we've said a million times, that of your feet and what you do with them, put on them. You know, it's...
No, you're good. I get what you're saying, though. You know, it is an important right for all of us to have.
It is. It's just like, why is it
a minimum?
It's like, why is it even an issue in
mm-hmm.
the first place? Like, why are you so obsessed with me? You know, why is it even an issue? Why do people? Like, for anything, like, but especially, like, something as little as, like, dude, yesterday, like, come on. So I was, like, in Walmart, and guy's like, aren't your feet cold? Keep in mind, this guy's wearing shorts, right? And I was like, not cold enough. And I'm like, says the man wearing shorts. And then so I go to get in my car, he's like, not even, I wish I was making this up. Who wish I was? He goes, so what are you doing? I said, it sounded like, ugh. I was like, what? It's like got this goofy grin smile and says, like, so what are you doing? I was like, going home to my husband and kids. Oh, that's so sad. No, no, no. And I'm like, bleh, dude.
What?
Like, it's either A, they want to use it to berate you, or C, be gross. And I'm like, just leave me alone. Period.
Keep your unsolicited comments to yourself.
Like, I
keep your gross energy to yourself. Like, unless you have something that is, like, genuinely positive to say.
Or
constructive, like, easy.
Oh, I saw a big piece of glass on the ground. Watch your step.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Hey.
But even that's still positive because.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
That you say, but, like.
Use it as an invitation.
Don't use
crazy.
All the world's scary what ifs
nobody's
to try and make me worse.
Being shown at all, ever, is an invitation to be creepy with foot fetish stuff. And we're not here to shame on that. We're not even here to talk on that because that's not what this is for. But it also, when you talk about respecting people's body autonomy and authority, is not bringing up unsolicited gross comments. And even too, especially, I mean, you brought up, going home with my husband and kids. That should be a conversation ender. Okay, clearly, I am not.
So he's like, oh, no, don't say that.
What? Like,
yeah,
ew.
No, literally.
Who
I was like, I wish I was making that. I could see on your face that you had in mind and not. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
And it's like, mind your own business.
Like,
and
eager beaver.
You know, and just in general, like, anything on a person's body, whatever they're wearing, however they express themselves and show up by just the way they dress or not wearing shoes or not, that is never an invitation for unsolicited creepy comments.
Right.
It's not. Get your entitlement out of it. Just out. Just throw it out.
Bye.
And start treating people with respect. Like, people are not your objects. And
right.
They never will be.
Right. And I'm like, okay, so you had that thought. You really need to say that out loud. You really need to voice that.
Keep your thoughts like that to yourself.
I really need to be privy to that thought
yeah.
process. No.
Exactly.
Why didn't?
Well, like, and going back to, like, what I was kind of want to talk about, too, like, with emotions and barefooting. So the feet in different spiritual studies are tied into our childhood, our traumas, home life, childhood having to tie in with home life, but even as you get older, that can still tie into home life energy because it's a complex thing that, you know, home life or family, like, you know, because that's something that can, those relationships obviously develop over time as you get older. You know, they're still a part of your experiences. You know, they don't stop it when you're no longer a child. But in general, a lot of our emotions are tied in our feet, and also our feet are the key to everything. I mean, there are nerves in our feet that lead to our body. Reflexology in the feet is even really key for helping heal different health conditions and disorders and whatnot. And so the feet are definitely very crucial. And I've found that, and I've seen other people talk on this because there is a lot of science showing it now that, and I was even reading on it too this week, and I do want to put some things together to be able to give better resources to this on people, for people, but it was just something that I, you know, just kind of thought of this week and I'm starting to talk on. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, haven't fully, like, put everything together or anything. And I'm still sure there's more realizations of my own that I could have through experiences of healing and growth for myself and my own barefooting journey to add later. But basically, when intense emotions are experienced, we actually feel them in the body first before we feel them mentally. And most emotions and physiological relations between body, so the relationship between body and mind, those start from the bottom up. And you have to think our brains are up here. Only 20% of that relationship actually is downward
right.
communication. So going down from your head, only 20% of that. The rest, the remaining 80%, is like ground up or lower space up. And
right.
So we actually feel our emotions in our bodies first a lot of the times before we can consciously process that. And think about it. Our body systems, like our parasympathetic nervous system.
Parasympathetic.
Our parasympathetic nervous system, especially our nervous system in general, most of that is unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
Our heart, it's beating unconsciously. Our breathing, unless you know, you have a disorder or something like that and cause issues with it.
Right.
It happens automatically. And so a lot of the functions in our body are just happening automatically. And so you have to think too, and humans only use 5 to 10% of their brain in terms of conscious activity. So most of our brain is actually those signals coming from our body. And so most of our unconscious and subconscious emotions, that is, we feel that through our body. It's not even processed fully in our consciousness.
Right.
So we have repressed trauma, you're still going to feel that in your body. And studies have even shown that trauma is stored in those areas in the body.
Yeah.
And it needs to be released, needs to be processed. But until you're in the place to mentally process it, vocalize it, let it go, and I'm sure you and I can both testify this on this with our own spiritual experiences, that energy isn't going to be released to the body and those and the dysfunctions that trauma and that energy and the way that it affected our body, like that's not going to be alleviated until you're ready to process, release, and let go of that trauma,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so we actually do a lot of healing with our bodies, not just with our minds and our emotions and talking about things. And so I've found that like massaging my feet and like in crystals, even being a part of like being able to help with that, if you get like those palm stones, they can be perfect for using like a massage
mm-hmm.
tool.
Yeah.
I've seen other crystal cuts that are polished that also really help. So I found that when I'm in really intense places and I'm processing trauma and I'm doing like, you know, therapy work and stuff like that, that massaging my feet and or other parts of my body with like crystals and stuff like that, loosening up the muscles, it is so helpful and effective with processing these traumas and not just the mental, emotional aspects, but actually the physical aspects. We have to think.
Right.
Trauma is anything that disrupts your central nervous system. When your central nervous system is disrupted, for all these different systems in your body can then have havoc wreaked on them, and you have these issues and problems that then occur. And this is a very physical thing. It's not mm-hmm. just a mental thing. It's not just an emotional thing.
Right.
So these things are also happening in our body. There's a lot of research that shows that just because something is psychosomatic does not mean that it is invalid. It does not mean that it's not real. Because psychological issues and trauma, that disruption of the central nervous system very well can cause dysregulations in the body. So those illness symptoms that can occur or muscle issues that can occur in response to trauma or even like digestion shutting and slowing down because then go hold rest and digesting.
Mm, yeah.
When you need to rest, your system needs to be rest and regulated to digest properly.
Right.
So these issues are occurring because of these traumas, and they're having a very real effect on the body, and that is crucial. That is important.
Yeah.
And it's something we need to acknowledge and address. So I found that also, too, especially with the feet being so tied into our childhood, and it's also a key place of where trauma gets stored, tied into our roots.
Yeah.
It's connected to our spirituality. When those things are, you know, regulated, that there's very much so is a problem. And so with that also being said, like, I found that, like, massaging my feet or doing certain foot stretches and exercises and also doing that along with my body and other areas, you know, that may be affected as well,
mm-hmm.
Is been so crucial to healing and letting go and processing
right.
trauma. And so, like, we really need to listen to our bodies, come back into our bodies, and look at how our body is being affected by these traumas. And also, too, as we talked about, like, a grounding of barefooting. So when you're also processing all these intense emotions, intense traumas and stuff going on in your head dimension, heart dimension, and also body, like, barefooting is very key to help release all of that excessive energy that you're working out of your system back into the earth where it should be anchored to, because
right.
that's the safest way is to anchor it to the earth. And the
exactly.
earth as well is very healing, and pretty much all spiritualities and cultures that I've ever heard of at all. I mean, it's a very universal thing. Like, the earth is healing, or the earth as an element is healing. Water is healing. Water as an element
yeah.
is healing. These are both purifiers even across cultures and spirituality.
Exactly.
And so,
no, yeah, you're spot on.
And even with Abrahamic religions, think of holy water. You know, there is this, you know, purifying element to water. And even certain Abrahamic religions have histories of using other herbs as well for healing rituals and or spiritual cleansing rituals of any kind. And so, again, this is going back to the earth and the water as elements. These are healing elements. And so I've definitely found that being in nature, being in the woods is very crucial also, too, to this healing relationship and this healing experience, feeling the barefoot
yeah.
out in nature has been so crucial for not just healing on a mental and emotional level, but a physical level with trauma. But then also if you have chronic illnesses, barefooting can help you so much. Now, obviously
yeah.
not all, and there are certain people with certain illnesses that have certain limitations. Even I have my own limitations that other people don't because of that. And other people are going to have different limitations that are very different than even mine are.
Mm-hmm.
And those are still valid, and you have to take those into consideration. And I'm not telling you to betray those either, because then I would be doing the exact opposite of everything I've been talking about. If for whatever reason, you know, if going barefooting is dangerous, like at certain times or certain frequencies or maybe even sometimes at all, depending on whatever it is, then listen to your body, do what you need to do for your body. Like, I'm not going to tell
right.
you to betray that. I'm telling you to embrace that and feel that. And so even if you can't barefoot in your outside environment, you could still incorporate that within your home with grounding, healing, and releasing in a more safer environment.
Yeah.
That you may be more equipped for, or, you know. And so I think there are also ways of being able for everybody to incorporate this into their lives. But that is going to look very different for different people.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It looks different for everybody. And, you know, yes, for me, it is all the time, 24/7, unless I'm at work. Absolutely it is. But that doesn't mean, but I acknowledge that, you know, other people might have a different idea of it for themselves.
Yeah.
So it's about respect,
people affecting each other.
Yeah. And whatever your, you know, spiritual, cultural, medical reasons are for barefooting, like, those are valid. Even if they look nothing like what I've mentioned, even if they look nothing like anything Audrey's ever mentioned, excuse me,
right,
or anybody else you know. I mean, as long as you're not going out and hurting other people, violating their body autonomy and their personal authority, you're not doing anything wrong, you know? And any, I mean, think about it, any intentional act of harm is doing that.
Yeah.
So that applies for anything.
Yep, agreed.
And, all right, you take a drink of water.
Yeah, well, and it's yeah. And, yeah. Dang it. My brain quit again.
Sorry, I didn't mean to distract you.
I don't know.
Reminded Audrey that we have about 9 minutes left of the show, just to make sure. And so we will be wrapping up here soon, folks. I hope that you've been able to find some benefit from the stuff we've been talking on today. And I hope that, you know, you can have, it can add value to your lives, your own healing, your own barefoot journey, your own experiences, because that's why we're here. We just want to positively impact and educate others. In any way we can, even with our random ramblings.
Right. Rant and rave. I'm tired today, dude. My brain is just done adulting and being a grown-up. I want to go back to, you know, building forts and whatnot. That's what I want to do. But, you know.
No, I feel it. But even for me, like, I've been noticing within my own, you know, spiritual belief systems, not just from a physical, emotional, and mental healing space, even in terms of spirituality. Barefooting is a huge aspect of my life. It's how I connect with greater energy and greater forces. And being out in nature and barefooting, to me, that is one of the most sacred spiritual experiences. And there are certain places that I do, specific places especially, that are more sacred to me than others. But in general, to me, like, my sanctuary or whatever is being out in nature. It is being in alignment with nature, barefooting and just connecting with nature, the ground beneath my feet, the water, the air around me, you know, like the wind, just the trees, the birds even, you know.
Yeah.
It's a very hard thing to explain to somebody in general, and especially if
we were
not under
these city girls. Oh, I would. I'm not made for the city. I don't want to live in the trees.
I want to live in the trees. No. And
a whole mood.
If you're not somebody that can relate to these spiritual experiences, I'm, you know, it is hard to explain that to you, but if you're at all curious, I recommend trying to engage in those experiences yourself, you know, barefoot, connect with nature, and see how it makes you feel and see how you feel on a spiritual level, because, you know, earth and water, like, they're very purifying, so you can't go wrong with connecting with them.
Right.
And so take the time to do so. Take the time to free yourself from your baggage.
Connect with yourself.
For me, I've definitely found a lot of spiritual importance with barefooting and a lot of connection to barefooting in terms of my own energy and my own natural flow on all dimensions of myself. My mental dimension, my emotional dimension, my physical dimension, and other dimensions even, you know, spiritual even, you know.
Yeah.
So it's definitely important to listen to those different facets of who we are. And I think barefooting is like a gateway to be able to get in touch with your body and get in touch with all the different dimensions of yourself and what's going on within you. It may not be the same thing for everybody. It may not have the same importance for everybody, but I do feel like barefooting is a gateway to connecting with those things. And maybe that's why barefooting is so stigmatized and so frowned upon.
Yeah.
So
as soon as you find your stuff, you don't need them no more.
Exactly. Yeah. And just in general, like, I think it is very much so, all this anti-barefooting bull crap is very much rhetoric or whatever, is very much rooted in alienation. And so I feel like
us versus them will always be a thing as long as we let it.
Yeah. And a lot of times it's us versus them thing really is only occurring because we don't know ourselves. We don't know ourselves enough to be validated in our identity, to not need to turn on other people or not to be so strongly against other people. Because think about it, when people love themselves and know who they are, they're not going out there and attacking people or, or provoking people unnecessarily. There's no need. They know who they are. They know what they believe in. They'll say what needs to be said and stand up for what needs to. But they're not going to just, you know, go out of their way to provoke you because they know what matters.
Not
going to
go looking for a fight.
Yeah. And they know what matters. And to know yourself is to love yourself.
Love yourself is to know yourself.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, no, you're all wrong. Like, no, so true.
And but yeah, so basically what we're saying is be kind, help when you can, and don't be a jerk. Like, just don't be a jerk. There's no need for it.
Yeah.
Even when someone comes at you, you know, and you're in the store and trying to tell you to put shoes on, there's no need to stoop to their level. Most of the time.
Just stand your ground.
As irritating as it can be, it's like, why, what is your issue with it? Why is it even? You know, people don't like being asked why because then they're forced to answer why, and they frequently don't even know, and it makes them feel dumb.
Yeah.
So that's usually why when people start to remember when you ask why, that's usually why, because they're being forced to answer, and they don't even know. So.
But remember, folks, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in public spaces or driving barefoot. There is nothing that you are doing wrong. Just if you're just simply being barefoot, like, you're not doing anything wrong.
Right.
And so
there's nothing weird or unholy about being barefoot.
Yeah. Like, the behavior that defines you negatively is definitely outside of whether or not you're wearing shoes.
It's like what defines you is your behavior, not your appearance.
And not how you choose to present yourself within society.
Exactly.
And so just, you know, remember, no laws or health codes against driving barefoot, against going in public spaces barefoot. So you are valid. Stick your ground. Do not let people walk all over you. But keep your calm and keep your patience. Do not let people get the rise and the reaction out of you that they want because that's what they're baiting for. Do not let them bait you. Do not take the bait.
And then they assume all barefooters are them.
And they're going to use it against you. They're going to use it against other people. So just stand your ground and, you know, don't let them walk all over you. Stand up for yourself.
Right.
But, you know, just keep your cool the best you can and handle it as level-headedly as possible. Just remind them you're not breaking the law. You're not doing anything wrong. It's actually illegal for them to tell you you can't be in here barefoot. If there's somebody trying to kick you out of the store,
right.
You know, tell them it's one of your protected. So, you know, keep living your best barefoot lifestyle, guys. Take care.
Yep. Be kind. Help when you can. Don't be a jerk. We'll be back next week, next Saturday or Sunday if you're watching. Listening through Mix 105.
In the Internet Radio.
Yeah. Peace out.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias. But they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.